Do you do a written inventory when you review your day? No. A lot of people do. A lot of people do. I don't. I do inventory, so I do a regular inventory pretty regularly, every couple of years, and just go through it all, see what's how it's changed. I actually have an inventory that I did when I was 10 years sober. There were 518 resentments on it. More does get revealed. And, more. And I looked at it 10 years later, and there were three possibles out of the 518. All gone. Just the path. But no, I don't. A lot of people do. A lot of people, sponsors, highly recommend it. I'm all for it. I don't do it. How long do you think a person should be sober before taking a newcomer through the steps? How long does it take you to finish doing all 12 steps? You're done with the steps, grab a newcomer. You've got something that says you can't give it away unless your own house is in order. You do the 12 steps, you have the information. Give it away immediately. That day. Go to a meeting. Find, you know, did they do that here? Everybody in their first 30 days and people, the newcomers raise their hands? Did they do that? Yeah? Go get them. Go make the offer. Present yourself. That's what we do. We just go get them, the new people. It's good. It's very good. Practice these principles in all our affairs. How is that possible without going to other 12-step programs working on the rest of our obsessions? Interesting question, I think. My thought on that is that, I mean, in AA for a while there was an abundance of 12-step programs. There were many, many 12-step programs. AA, CA, Cocaine Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Mental Health Anonymous, and on, lots of programs. And I saw this curious thing start to happen where people would be in AA and they would never work the steps. So they would go to another program. I need to go to Adult Children of Alcoholics. And they would go to Adult Children of Alcoholics and not really work the steps. And then they would go. And what I noticed was that people were taking geographics within the 12-step community. And by geographic, I mean, it's not going well here. I'll go over there and it'll be better over there. So we move from California to Minnesota or from Minnesota to Reykjavik, or from Reykjavik to New York, thinking it's going to get better. And every time I go there, there I am. And it just doesn't go well there either. That I think if you engage in a 12-step process, you engage in a 12-step process. I think that Karen alluded to that very well earlier, that and she says, if it's not about my alcoholism, maybe it's about my selfishness, or maybe it's about my sexual conduct. Now, can you go to SLA and address it specifically there because of the fellowship that's available there? Absolutely. I know people that go to different programs for very good reasons. They go because they find the fellowship to work the steps with there. They find the individual who has recovered from sexual addiction or overeating or gambling or Debtors Anonymous or whatever, and they found that. I would suggest if you be alcoholic, this stays home. Right? We go there, we gather community in that, and we come back here. We go there, we gather information, and we come back here. If you want to do that, I would respectfully suggest you do that in addition to this, not instead of. Because it would be a terrible thing as an alcoholic to leave here, go to Debtors Anonymous, and celebrate becoming debt-free by getting drunk. In a program of honesty and action, where does the phrase fake it till you make it apply? Everywhere. It applies everywhere. It is a program of honesty and action. Fake it till you make it, to me, means going to meetings when I don't want to go to meetings. It's kind of, I'm not faking it with you as much as I'm kind of faking myself out. Going to meetings when I don't want to go to meetings. And adopting, watching your head change when, let's say I'm the kind of person that constantly complains about things that I believe are legitimate complaints. But I wake up complaining to myself. Looking at the negative. And my sponsor comes up to me and says, you communicate such negativity. You embrace your negativity with such energy. How about the next time I see you, you tell me you're fine and try to wrap your head around that. Say you're fine. And try to wrap your head around that. Oh, that would be dishonest. Yeah. Just, we all know it's not true, so it's not like we're trying to fool anybody here, all right? Let's just start moving in that direction and see what happens. How are you? Fine. One day you may say it and actually mean it. But if you're always saying terrible, terrible, awful, how are you going to get the fine? How are you going to get there? How are you? Terrible. How are you? Awful. God, it's awful. So sober. Hate it. God, it's awful. How are you? Fine. I'm fine. Just start moving. We're not fooling anyone. We're not trying to convince anybody we're fine so that we can get something from them. We're trying to change self, trying to change my attitude, my perception of things. Mm-hmm. Can't read that one. Please describe what spirituality is to you in as few words as possible. Trying to rein me in, are you? It can't be done. All right. Taking daily action that moves me in the direction of God. I heard somebody else say that, sorry. I find it hard to start a routine of meditation and prayer every day. Can you help? Yes. Engage in a routine of meditation every day. I mean, I'm not being facetious. That is ultimately the answer, isn't it? You don't have to like it. You don't have to think it's a good idea. Just do it. I mean, it is amazing how much we get in our own ways. You know, we feel there's this belief for me that if I don't like it, there's something wrong. If I don't feel like doing it, it's a bad thing. And that's just the beast whispering in my ear is all that is. It's like, oh, meditation, God, that's just going to be awful. Again, with the perception of things, it's just going to be terrible. It's terrible. I mean, I have to sit still for, God, what are we talking, 10 minutes here? Peace. It's endless. It's endless, 10 minutes of time, still. I'll complain about it for 20, 30 minutes. You know, and it's the action. It's like Donald Madden said, you don't have to like it. You don't have to think it's a good idea. You just do it. We know you don't want to sit still. We know that that's difficult. We know the thought of quieting the mind is a horrifying thought. You know, we know that. And just go ahead. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And you just do it. You just write it in your book, you know. It says I'm scheduling my day for tomorrow. I put down, you know, 6:30, 6:40. Meditate. Just do it. And it becomes so much less effort than resisting doing it, ultimately. It is the easier, softer way. And it's about kind of clinging to those little statements that make it possible to just go roll out of bed, plop down on the floor, open yourself up, and let it happen. This is the same question as the other sponsorship. When do you take someone to the steps? How do you do your 10 step on a daily basis? And how about 11 and 12? Like I said, I don't do a written 10 step. I do review my day. I see where I've aroused the things that I don't wish to arouse in others. I clean it up, and I clean it up, and I move on. 11 and 12. 11, I seek God on a daily basis through the prayer and the meditation. I do that on a daily basis. And 12, step 12 is out of self and service to others as a result of the process. And I do that as well on a daily basis. I sponsor a lot of guys. I have other people that call me from the program and stuff. And I'm on the phone every day. On the phone or in the presence of other members of Alcoholics Anonymous every single day. That's one of the great things about living in Southern California is that there are so many recovering people that you have access to so much interaction all the time. So out of self and service daily is really as easy in Los Angeles as it is anywhere to just be in the loop. Do you believe in being specific in prayer? Yes. How about when you think about the exact nature of your wrongs? When I ask God to remove all my defects of character, I don't think that I have to be specific with God because, of course, He's God. He knows. He knows. You know, I get specific, you know, there's the chance I'm leaving stuff out. It's just my defects of character. All of them. Take them as you see fit. All of them. Pray for knowledge of wills, God's will for me and the power to carry that out. Thy will, not mine, be done. Every time before I get up to speak, that's my mantra. Thy will not mine, thy will not mine, thy will not mine, thy will not mine. Because I'm self-centered, I'm afraid, and, you know, and I get a lot of other stuff going on. It's got no business being involved in the process, and I try to get it off of me so that I can be the window that Doug talks about. Who's listening? Every word. Can service be everywhere in life or only in AA? Service is everywhere in life. I am a member in good standing of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm also a member of a community. I have friends and family, and to exclude them would be silly. I go into places of business and engage with other human beings. I try to bring the balance and the grace of Alcoholics Anonymous with me to the best of my ability when I'm standing in line to check out at the checkout counter in the market. And I'm in the line that says 10 items or less, and the lady in front of me's got 15 and gets there and is about to take out her checkbook and write a check. I've learned that it's, again, perception here. I don't have to stand in line. I get to. I should be dead a long, long time ago, certainly in prison, if not in a grave. And I'm standing in a market getting upset because a woman's got seven items too many in the basket in front of me. Blaze. This is not a problem. How much time do you spend on meditation? How do you meditate? What is the difference between meditation and prayer? 10 minutes in the morning, usually 10 to 15. Sometimes I meditate in the afternoon, not regularly. In the evening before I go to bed, I will sit and be still for a few minutes. It comes real quick now. I mean, when you do it regularly, it's you got to do it. Got to do it. How do I meditate? I sit quietly, palms up, eyes almost closed, my lips slightly apart. I breathe in through the nose gently and out through the mouth gently so that you almost can't feel it. And I have a mantra that I use that is mine. Get your own. And I leave that and come back to it and leave that and come back to it. That's all. The difference between prayer and meditation. Prayer, I seek God's will in my life. I meditate to hear the answers come so that the answers can come to me. That's, you know, one is out there framing up, the other is receiving. That makes sense? Is there a difference between denial and deception? Yes. I am in denial and I attempt to deceive you. Oh, that was good. Have you ever felt like there wasn't enough 12 step left for you? No. No. There's no such thing. There is absolutely no such thing. How deep you want to go? You get there, it'll be there. You want to go deeper? You get there, it'll be there. It'll be there. There is no, oh, I ran out. There isn't. That's the great nature of it. That's a 10 step. Did that one? I can't read that. I think I'll keep that one. Is this the one that you... Yeah. That was fascinating. What do I say about writing down the 10 step? Has 10 step to be done? I did that. Although I pray, work the steps, am willing to forgive myself and my children, have forgiven me wholeheartedly, and my life today is successful in every way, I am filled with pain and self-disgust. What am I missing here? What to do to get rid of the pain? I have two answers to that. One, that whoever wrote this, I would tell you privately. All right? The other answer that I have for that, in terms of discussion in a general way in this format, I would say that it seems to me that great things have occurred in your life. There is a healing that is taking place. That healing is taking place within you. You've forgiven yourself. Your children have forgiven you wholeheartedly. There's been healing in your children. Your family has begun to heal in a very, very significant way. And your life is successful in every way except that you're filled with pain and self-disgust. I would suggest if you're filled with pain and self-disgust that you have not forgiven yourself completely, that you do regret the past somehow and do wish to shut the door upon it, that there is the judgment of self in a very, very harsh manner present in this. And I think that the healing for a lot of us is a slow one, is a very, very slow one. I wouldn't dare delve any further into that in a public setting, but I will give you this about my, I will share this with you about me. I've been sober 22 years, 10 months, and 13 days. 7 days. 22 years, 10 months, and 7 days. And well into that length of sobriety, I woke up one morning and experienced profound emotional pain. I woke up with a deep cut opened up inside me. And it had to do with the death of my little sister and the series of circumstances that I'll talk about tonight. And I felt I was in no way responsible for her death, had nothing to do with it. But I had been her big brother, and I saw myself as her protector, and I saw myself as her guardian. And it was my job to keep her safe. The job no one else gave me, but I gave myself. We were 15 months apart, and I loved her like life. And she died, and I watched her die, and I knew that I had not done my job. And I was very, very injured in that experience as well. And I suffered from a thing they call survivor's guilt. And when you suffer from survivor's guilt, there's no forgiveness for you. You don't have a problem. You are the problem. The very fact that I was alive was shameful to me. That I was alive was shameful to me. I felt that I had no right to joy. I had no right to happiness. I had no right to experience the wonderful things that can happen in life. And I carried that pain and that belief well into sobriety with me. And I healed slowly over time in sobriety. And Not that long ago, I woke up one morning in this pain, and I got to the podium and expressed it from the podium, and I shared that, not the specifics necessarily, but that I was in a great deal of pain, and I was suffering, and I was going, and that was my problem, and that my solution to this was going to have to be the actions that I take in AA, the fellowship and the brotherhood that I have found here, and a power greater than myself that would heal this. And I took the actions, and I healed. And as a result of that, there's been tremendous creativity that's been coming into my life, and opportunities to express the creativity that I've always felt and wanted to express, but never have. I was very involved musically, and I was involved in writing. I was involved in a lot of other things much earlier in my life, and I shut them down. Friends of mine that had known me for 15, 16 years had no idea that I had ever been in any way even involved in any kind of artistic endeavor, because I had taken that away from myself as my penance. And what I found is that if you stay here, your truth will come, your healing will come. If you chop the wood and carry the water of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you just chop the wood and carry the water, the healing will come when it is time for the healing to come. And I once again have been set just a little bit more free as a result of being here. I never would have, the wound would not have opened had it not been for this. The wound would not have begun to heal had it not been for this, right? And now this stuff is happening in my life, and there's a healing that I don't have words for. That I don't have words for. So when you say that you have disgust for yourself, I understand. I had no right to be alive in my own mind. Yet I was, and I felt that redemption was something that was unavailable to me. And now I believe that redemption is available to all of us. And it is a question of how we embrace this path. This is not just about not drinking and using. This is about becoming whole human beings that experience some semblance of balance that they can bring into the world. To find that balance, we will deal with the broken heart, the broken dream, the broken arm, the dark, lost, and lonely soul. And we heal here. This is a magnificent experience. We're the dark ones. We know the darkness. We all know the darkness. Some of it still carried a bit with us, no matter how long we've been sober. I'm one of those. But we also begin to know the light, and a balance comes to us. We begin to heal. I believe that we are the people that have been to great depths of pain and suffering. We've been in the madness, and we're extreme in that sense. We come back, and we lead the abnormal life becomes the normal one for us. We get sober, and the normal life feels abnormal. It's an uncomfortable, unsettling place, this place of normalcy, this balance. It's a difficult thing to adjust to. I think on the other end of the spectrum for us is that we are given, because of who we are and what we must do not to die, we are given an opportunity to lead exceptional lives. And I mean exceptional lives. Exceptional lives. I mean, I know that you're here in this place doing the things that you do and having your AA meetings, and it's just building this one more meeting and just building this one more meeting and getting the Yellow House meetings from 2 a week to 7 a week and getting the Alano Club going and doing that. And it seems like little things to you. And then those of us that have been in AA for 20 plus years or whatever, we come over from America and we look at this and we see what it is really what you do, because we have an outside perspective. We see that this little work that you look at, that you see is this little work that you do, or this little room of a few hundred people. What this does is it changes the world, is what it does. This changes the world. What you do, what you are doing here changes the world. It will change the world. How could it not? Bill and Bob were two. 68 years ago. That's it. 68 years ago. Look. There were so few of you such a short time ago. Look, and I talk to you, and I walk out, and you don't come up to me and say, oh, that was cute, or that was funny. You come up and you say, when you discuss the 11th step, I mean, you go right into the heart and soul of it. You're all coming at me with books. You have books. And pens, and you're flipping the pages, and these books one woman came with book is in tatters. It was just in tatters, and she looked at me and she said, don't go in the sauna with your book. This was right. But the point is, the woman's in the sauna with her book. It's astonishing what you're doing here. This is not a little thing. This is exceptional lives. Exceptional lives, creating a world and an environment within which our kind can come and find a program of hope. Can find hope. What greater thing to give to an alcoholic of the hopeless variety than hope? You know what? There was a fight in that restaurant last night, and I got to tell you this, and then I'll shut up. We walk in, we sit down, boom, it's on. Every guy in our group was on his feet and right in it. We were just in it. Right? Because we've all, been there. And we just pull these guys out. And Thor and I got the bloody one over here, and these guys have got that one over there. And we were just, but I was struck by, in looking at it again last night, we were all quiet. They were all shouting and yelling, and we were quiet. We were just there stopping the violence. Come on, peace, man, peace, peace. Right? And then we all sat down, and not one person at our table said, "Could you believe the behavior of that, those people?" Nobody said that. Everybody just looked around the room at each other and said, "You okay? You okay? You okay? You okay?" Concerned about each other. Concerned about each other. "You okay? Okay? Yeah, yeah, I'm fine." You know? Yeah. And my heart didn't even, my blood pressure didn't go up at all. It was just, "Oh, fight. No, not a fight. Okay, good. Lamb. I'm gonna have lamb." And we were fine. No judgment. None. Because that was us. We're in no position to judge. And everybody there knew that, had changed. We'd changed as humans. And there was no discussion of judgment. It was just what it was, and it was okay. And, you know, it's a remarkable thing that's going on here in Iceland today. Independent of us, you know, chatty Americans. Independent of us, you do this. You create this environment. You change the world. And it's magnificent. It's absolutely magnificent. I have such respect for you. Thank you.